1 Samuel 17. This is not a Jewish fable. This is fact. This is not fiction. Man writes fiction. God doesn't write fiction. This is God's word. This is the truth. This is not the story of how an underdog can defeat insurmountable odds, a larger foe. That's not what this is about. That's all that religion makes of it. This is the gospel. This is the truth of how the Lord Jesus Christ defeated a very real and deadly adversary and still defends his people from Satan, sin, death, and hell. The title of this message, as you saw, was David, Son of David, the Giant Slayer. Well, that comes far short. It's a common title. It comes far short of the glory of our Lord and His great salvation, the Giant Slayer. Scripture talks about so great salvation. We just don't know. We don't see our foe. We don't see what all is against it. We don't see clearly. We see dimly. We don't understand fully what our Lord did to us, what He had to do. We just don't. We'd be more thankful. We'd be more serious. 30 or 35 minutes, I can't tell this story. But I was going to have us read it. I hope you did read it. It takes 10 or 12 minutes to read it, if you read it slowly and carefully. But we'll not do that for the sake of time. In verses 1 through 3, the Philistines were gathered on one side, on one hill, and the children of Israel were gathered on the other. There was a valley between them, something between them. And scriptures are clear, and we know it by experience, that the world is on one side, and we are on another. Who is on the Lord's side? Well, God's people are, for the cause of God and truth and salvation. All right, the world is against God and His people, and there's a valley called the Valley of the Shadow of Death between it. Someone has to enter that valley for us. Somebody has to go through that valley for us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, a giant of a man, verses 4 through 11, is the story of a true story. Now, this is not a fable. And you know, Genesis 5 talks about there were giants in the earth at that time. Men of renown and men, right before the Lord destroyed the world, men were getting bigger and bigger and bigger and mightier and thought they were something. When they were, all man is flesh. Man is really the weakest creature on earth. He has no covering, he has no natural weapons. Other animals do. Okay. And thank God, God put the fear of man in animals. Right? So they could kill us all. He gave man a brain. But men were getting bigger and bigger back then, right before the Lord destroyed the world. Well, what about now? Same thing. There are giants in the earth. So this is easy to understand that this man was, and we're not talking about how big he is and taking up the bed. That's beside the point. Okay? He's just a man. But he was a formidable foe. Now he represents a much larger foe. A much larger foe. And as I said, we just don't understand. Here's what Paul said about the enemy that we face, adversary, the devil, that men scoff at. The world scoffs at this. They think this is ridiculous, this devil and all that, when they're under his dominion. But Paul said, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, formidable foe, and giants. And no one can stand before him. No one. Adam and Eve could not. It's not fiction. And you know, only God's people understand a little bit of this, because only God's people feel his assaults. Only God's people are assaulted by him and tempted by him. And it is a temptation. It is a trial. It is an assault. God's people feel. The world doesn't. They're willingly captives. They're willing captives. They don't feel in bondage. They don't feel under his spell, but they are. But people are totally captive to everything in this world. Totally. And our Lord came to deliver his people from the captivity of all of this and him who uses these things. Well, God's people, Israel, were taunted. They were being taunted by this giant, mocked, defied. And again, as I said, the world mocks and scoffs, and Satan puts that in them to do that. And things pop up on my phone. I hate it. Don't you? Things pop up. You see it. You don't want to see it. And it does. And it's just what the world, just God is a man makes a mockery of God and a sport of sin. We're dying. We're in a valley of shadow of death, and the valley is full of blood. And verse 9, this is what the giant said to the people, and it's true. He said, if you send a man, if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I kill him, you're going to be our servant. And no truer words were spoken. You know that?
Yeah.
My one man's sin entered in this world. How did it come? By the God of this world, by Satan tempting that man. He was no man. And sin entered this world, and so death by sin. Alright? But by one man came life. In Adam, all die. Go through the valley of the shadow of death. And unless one man, unless we have this one person who takes up our cause, and we're going to die like everybody else. And we would be the servants of sin, of Satan, of this world, if Christ had not come for it. No true words were spoken. Man doesn't believe that. Man doesn't believe that. Men don't want to believe, don't want to take the blame for what Adam did. Well, they don't. I mean, we were born in sin, but men are not damned for Adam's sin. They're damned for their own. But men don't want to take the blame. You know, don't believe in total depravity, that we're born dead because of one man. They don't believe that. And they sure don't believe that we're going to get to glory by one man. They don't want that either. I do. Don't you? You know, the most formidable foe to me, really, is this man within. And I need our Lord to defeat him. Don't you? So no truer words were spoken. Unless our advocate, unless our substitute, unless Christ fights our battle for us, fought our battle, finished it, then we're going to be the servants of sin. And we'll die. So everyone heard that. Verse 11, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. Everyone was afraid. And Hebrews 2 talks about the fear of death is upon everyone. Everyone, whether they admit it or not, are afraid to die. They're afraid of death. But God, God omnipotent, the one who reigneth. He purposed this. He had this happen. This story happens. True story. And everything in the Scripture is written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Hope in whom? Hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a true story. The Lord had this happen to His people Israel, and raised up David to conquer this giant. And this is all for the purpose of setting forth God's Son. Show forth His glory, the captain of our salvation, the Son of the Most High God, altogether lovely one, fairest of 10,000, bright and morning star. You remember we read there in 2 Samuel 23 that His coming will be like the bright sunshine, like the rain on... Beautiful. The Almighty Son of the Most High God, the God-man who came and by Himself purged God's people's sin. By Himself. He conquered our foe. Now, David, so here it begins. All of that, this picture of them standing before the giant, him taunting and tempting them and defying God. And they're all afraid and dismayed and worried and troubled. And it's verse 12, it begins, now David. That's like Ephesians 2, isn't it? And you, they were dead in trespass and sin, but God. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. Keep bringing up Jesse's name, the existent one. Jesse had 8 sons, and 7 of them came before David, remember? David's the youngest. And we believe that, 3 of them at least were following Saul. I don't know where the others were. They were probably in the army also. But 7 of these sons came before David. And how many men have come from the beginning of time? How many men have come and gone? But the Scripture says now. Hebrews first begins talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Son. The express image of God. And all the way through chapter 10, it talks about what He came to do, what He did, how He accomplished so great salvation by Himself. All right. And then in chapter 9, it says, now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared. All these sons came before David. David's the last. All right. And they're all in this battle. And now, here comes David. None of them can defeat this battle. Now, here comes David. He was the youngest. What was David doing before he came to this battle? It keeps saying this. He's keeping the sheep. Chapter 16. He's keeping the sheep. When he had to leave the sheep, he left them in the care of another. He came to the battle. He left his sheep in the care of another. And he keeps saying this. He's keeping the sheep. He's keeping the sheep. And that's our Lord. He that keepeth Israel. He's always kept us. Always. Long before we knew Him. He kept us. And in fact, and like in the story of David, David was out before he was king. So he was 16 or 17 at this time. He didn't reign. He wasn't crowned until he was 30. But all that time, he was fighting Israel's battles for him. Hidden, unknown to everyone, but a few. A few knew who it was that was fighting for them. It was David. And they said that in the end, when they finally found out who he was and he was crowned king, they said, you were the one all that time fighting our battles for us. And our Lord Jesus Christ He's the Savior from the beginning. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And He's been keeping His people. He's been keeping Israel. He that keepeth Israel has kept them from the beginning. And kept us while we were yet sinners. Before we knew Him, He kept us. Scriptures even says He's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of all mankind. If any man one lives, it's because the Lord is keeping him alive. The Lord gave that person life. The Lord sustains them. The Lord feeds them. The Lord protects them. Whatever, whoever it is, they're in the Lord's hands. Always have been. Always will be. But He's especially the Savior, Scripture says, of them that believe. The Savior of our souls. Now, all men are going to lose their lives. This life, the body's going to die. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to save our souls. That's what He was doing. And you know, I thought about this. His eldest brother, Eliab, he said, what are you doing here? He mocked him, you know. He despised him and rejected his brother that came, like Christ. And he said, what have you done with those few sheep? Go back and keep. He thought being a shepherd was easy. Eliab wasn't doing anything. He's scared. He's not doing anything. And he thought keeping his sheep was easy. He'd never done that, had he? You try staying awake all night while the sheep all sleep. Try going after those, trying to lead sheep that don't want to be led. Trying to feed and comfort all of these sheep. The shepherd faces the adversary more than anybody. He's assaulted more than anybody. The adversary knows if he can get the shepherd, he got the sheep. Smite the shepherd, sheep will be scattered. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's easy being a shepherd. No, it's easy being a sheep, being a follower. That's easy. But his brother said, go back keeping those few sheep. Our Lord, like David, is the great shepherd, chief shepherd. Is it easy for our Lord to keep us? Are you an easy keeper? Huh? Oh, my. He had to tame us first. Wild asses colts. Well, 40 days this giant taunted Israel. 40 days. Who wrote this book? God did. Our Lord, the first thing He did when He became 30 years old was went into the wilderness and was tempted of Satan 40 days. Every point, tempted in all point, for 40 days He was assaulted in every way that we will be assaulted for 40 years. One right at the end of it. He had nothing to eat. He was weak and his weakest point. This shows how strong our Lord is. And he purposely didn't eat or drink anything for 40 days so that his flesh was so weak. He lived. He had to have things to sustain his flesh, didn't he? He did. But he showed us that man doesn't live by bread alone. Man is not sustained by physical things. Man is sustained by the power of the Spirit of God Himself. He lived by faith, not on food. He lived by faith. He looked to God. At his weakest point, Satan found nothing in him. He defeated our foe. I thought about this. Maybe Satan, I don't think Satan knew. I really don't think he knew who Christ really was. Maybe he did, but he didn't understand, though. His power. He didn't understand. Satan's not all wise. No, he is not. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's not. God is. Christ is. And the fact that he tangled with our Lord tells me, you're a fool. He's a fool. He's the biggest fool, though, because he's able to fool those people. But Satan didn't realize his power, and after those 40 days, I think he knew something about it. And maybe he realized, maybe I've got a short time. He sure didn't know why Christ was going to the cross, or he would have tried to prevent it. That's where Christ was defeated. Stepped on his head. Sure didn't. Did Goliath fear David? No, not at first. But when David, Goliath has never had a man face him. And Stephen, when David came running at him, don't you know, I bet Goliath stepped back. He saw something in this man's eyes he had never seen before. Was he afraid? Pilate was. This man standing in front of him in chains, his visage marred more than any man, bloody. He said, "Behold the man." And his wife trembled. And I believe he was trembling. And he tried to get out of it, didn't he? What have I done? I'm going to wash my hands. That's too late for that. Don't you love this story?
Yeah.
True story. Behold the man. Oh, man, all men are going to stand before our Lord someday. He thought he was just a man. Oh, and we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazarene. Wonder how, why he would love us. Sinners condemned, unclean. 40 days. Well, Jesse, the father of David, in verses 17 through 19, says, "Take this for my brethren, your brethren." The father sent the son with some to see how the brethren were doing, and sent him with some provisions, some food to go and feed his brethren. And that's our Lord. He came for his own. As I said, Eliab. He didn't receive it, did he? His brother didn't receive it. Our Lord in John 1 says he came to his own received it not. Received it not. I hope, I pray, I think Eliab later on did. David made him one of his captains in his army. And after he finally saw who David was, this is not my little brother. This is my Lord and my King and my captain. This is not just a man, a young man, not just a little shepherd boy like I thought he was. This is my salvation. Huh? And that's what all of God's people, though they don't believe, they don't receive the truth, you know, you could be religious, you know, and think highly of Jesus, but when God finally shows you who he is and what you are, and you're weak and he's strong, and you're nothing, he's all, and your salvation's in his hand, then you're going to say, he's not just Jesus, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not salvation, he's God. Only God could do for me what he did. Well, he came to his own, they didn't receive him. And so here he comes, verse 20. David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, did as the father commanded him, and came to the trench, down into the valley, to fight a battle. There's a passage in Luke 7 I've always loved dearly. Love it. It says this. Listen, I'll read it for you. I loved it. Love the thought of this. It says in Luke 6, verse 17, it says, Christ came down. He was up on the mountain. We called his own. He called unto him his disciples. He called whom he chose. And they came to him. All right? And it says he came down with them and stood in the plain with the company of his disciples. He came down and stood with them. Plain man. And, oh, this is their Lord and Savior. And the company of his disciples. He came down and they came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And all that were vexed with unclean spirits, they came and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him because there were virtue came out of him. And when they all saw who this David, when this was all over, boy, they're following him fully, aren't they? They had a few battles to fight themselves, not the war. David fought that. So David rose early, left his sheep. He left the 99 and came for the one. And so here it was. David left his carriage. And verse 22 says he ran. He ran into the army. He ran. Scriptures talks about those who believe shall not make haste. They're going to wait. That's our next message. And wait, and be patient, and wait on the Lord. But then there's another scripture that says, those who believe, make haste. It's a time to make haste, it's time not to make haste. This is an urgent matter. And our Lord ran. The Lord sent it. Will you go? I'll go. Go now. It's urgent. Today is the day of salvation. He ran, saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. As he talked with them, the Goliath came out and made his assault, made his taunts of them. And David was speaking with the men about it. And they told him, they said, he said, what shall be done to the man who defeats this giant? And they told him, verse 25 says, the man who defeats this giant, the king will enrich him with great riches, give him his daughter, and make his house free. Did you hear that? Maybe you didn't hear that. All right, I'll tell you again. The man who kills this foe will be given all riches and honor and power and glory and dominion, and the king's daughter, the father's daughter, will he give him for the bride. And his whole house, if this man defeats the foe, they'll be free. Now do you understand? That's what Revelation 5 says. Listen to this. Everybody in heaven, because Jesus Christ fought our foe and defeated and won so great a victory and salvation, everybody in heaven says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches and wisdom and strength and honor, glory and blessing. Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He's delivered the whole creation that's in bondage, he's delivered them. The whole creation that groaneth now praiseth him, saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Especially his bride, like Abigail. I keep mentioning her. We gotta look at that, Abigail taken captive. That's what will happen. So David was speaking to them. He said, I'll go. All right? And they all heard this. All Israel heard this. Someone has come. Someone has come to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Isaiah, I've always loved this passage in Isaiah 25. It's the scripture that says, he will swallow up death and victory. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all eyes. The rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. The Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We've waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in him. And you know that scripture that says, our Lord looked and he saw there was no man. There's no man. So, he came and he put on a helmet of salvation and breastplate of righteousness. His right arm had gotten him the victory, got us the victory. No man able. So, God sent the man, Christ Jesus. He came. He ran. Well, Saul heard this, and all have heard. And Saul, as we know, was a bad man. Didn't he know David by now? David had been playing the harp for him. No, he didn't. He didn't understand. His eyes were blinded to him. But he said that he heard that David was willing to go. And he said of David in verse 33, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight. You're just a youth. He's a man of war. You're not able. You're just a youth. You're just a boy. You're not able. And isn't that what religion says about God, about Christ, about Jesus? He can't do anything unless you let him. He has no hands, but your hands. They say he's God, but they don't believe he's God because they don't believe he's able to save. They pray unto a God who cannot save. If God cannot save you unless you let him, that means he cannot save. Right? That means he's not all powerful. He can defeat just about anything but you. I need a God who first defeat me and overcome my will. Oh, God doesn't want to. Violate your will. He better, or you're gonna end up in hell. He better. I'm not asking our young people to accept Jesus. They've already rejected him. I'm asking the Lord to accept them. I'm asking the Lord to exert his power and break their hearts and bring them to him. If he doesn't, they won't. Nothing I say, nothing anybody says, nothing that will ever happen to them will make them come to Christ except Christ. So we're calling on him, Lord. You're the only one able. This is what we know. I know. You know. I know. My experience. He's able to save to the guttermost. Them that come unto God by him. The only reason they'll come is by him. I say, that's what the woman at the well, you know, remember she said, you don't have anything to draw with. Everybody's a natural born Arminian, you know. She said, you don't have anything to draw with. She didn't realize he hadn't come there for water. He didn't need a bucket. He's come for her. He's drawing her. She doesn't even know it. When it's all over, she dropped her water bucket. Now, she finally realized he came for me. Our Lord never did take a drink. He didn't need it. She needed him. So he came for her. And he drew her. Oh, my. You're not able. And so, and David told him what he had done before this. Slew the lion and the bear. Again, that's a picture of our Lord. It's fought all the battles for all of God's people from the beginning. Kept all of God's people and kept the whole world for that matter from the beginning, though men don't know it. But Saul said, here, you need some help. And so he armed David with his armor, put a helmet of brass on his head, a coat of mail, and all of that, girded his sword on David. And David said in verse 39, I can't go with this. I've not approved these men. I've never used this. I don't need this. And I remind you, go quickly with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I remind you, after this battle, you know, he put all of this on and he took it off. He said, I don't need this. I don't need a helmet. I don't need a shield. I don't need a shield. Why, David? I've got a shield. Who is it? God. If God doesn't shield me, nothing's going to shield me. Is that right?
That's right.
If you believe anything, you've got to believe that. Thou only. When did he write that? Thou only makest me to dwell in safety. When did he write that? Before or after? Doesn't matter. Well, he knew. Look at Psalm 139. I love this. It says, no. Not Psalm 139, it's, shoot. Where is it? I got it written down here somewhere. Let me see. If I follow my notes, I'd have it. 139, yeah, it's 139. No, it's not it. I was just reading it. I'm going to find it. It killed me. It said in verse, Psalm 140. Here it is. Psalm 140. security in. And David, over and over and over throughout the scripture, talks about the Lord is my shield. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my salvation. Verse 7. O Lord, God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. David never wore a helmet, a shield, a coat of mail, ever. And ever. He didn't have an armor bearer go out in front of him. Saul, Goliath did. Oh, he's a mighty man. He had somebody in front of him. And all these people, men that think they're mighty men, you know. There are a few captains bound through the years, men that were real men, Stephen Wright. And those men actually went out in front of the battle. The captains, the generals went out. Most of them, though, were back in the back with all these armies in front of them. They weren't brave men. The brave man who goes out in front, first, front lines. And that's what David did then. He didn't have a shield. He didn't have a helmet. He didn't have a coat of mail. What's his protection? Ain't a what? Oh, brethren. Now only. David said, you've covered my head in the day of battle. And I remind you, David, from this time till he was 70 years old, fought hand-to-hand combat his whole life without protection. He said, my God saved me through it all. Yes, he did. And I look back on my life, and don't you look back at all the things that happened to you. And you're looking at a Red River steer right here, a wild ass's colt. And I think back on all that I did and went through. My God had saved me through it all, kept me mercifully and graciously. Amen. But God did it all. Great things you have done. Well, here came David. I love this. The Philistine shouted to him, said, my dog, David says in verse 40, took his staff in his hand. What's that? That's the word of God. Chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag or vessel. You know, we're saved by a shepherd. Same one that slew the lion and the bear. We'll have to save Israel. And down there, I almost went by this verse 29 where they all said, you've come down. They mocked him and he said, what have I done? What have I done wrong? I'm here. There's a cause. Is there not a cause? I'm here because none of you can do this. I'm here because you're going to be a servant of this giant if I don't, somebody doesn't slay him. Is there not a cause? Yes, and you're not able. I'm not able. None of us are able. That, for this cause, the cause of God and truth, the cause of salvation, the cause of his people, because of our adversary, our Lord came. Is there not a cause? Yes. Christ said in John, he said, now is my soul troubled when he's facing the cross. He's faced with the foe of our foe. Again, at a weak point of view. And he said, what shall I pray? Father, deliver me from this? He said, no, for this cause came I into the world. Thank God he did. Well, he came. He took his staff in his hand. What is that? Oh, the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of our Lord's kingdom. The staff is his word, like Aaron's rod and his staff. And oh, they comfort me. And he chose five smooth stones out of a brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, in his vessel. What are these? Five smooth stones from the brook, well-worn, smooth stones. This is the word of God. Any one of which, just one word, will slay the adversary. Out of the ever-flowing stream, which is God's word. Infinite supply of the word of God, the power of God, the gospel of God. And one smooth stone, just any one of which. in the hands of the Son of David. He's able to sling it. The scripture says the arrows of the Lord are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemy. And we're going to see the first stone that our Lord, that David pulled out of that bag, smote the giant. Any one of which. Five smooth stones. Here's five smooth stones. You ready? The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Here's five smooth stones. Salvation is of the Lord. What do you have to preach? Five words will do it. Five words will do it. Christ is all in all. By Himself purge our sins. See, give me five words. Five bleeding wounds He bears. That's His power. That's God's power. I'm hoping. I don't want to just preach a good sermon this morning. An interesting story. I'm hoping that the Lord will take one word and slay, take from His captivity one of our own. He did it for me. In the fullness of time, one of those stones hit. I'm praying, I'm hoping that it'll happen today. It's urgent. I ran here this morning with a message. And David said, you have come to me, and this is what David, now David begins to taunt him. David says, you come with a spear and a sword and a shield. I don't have any of that. That shield's not going to save you. That sword's not going to save you. He that liveth by the sword, the scripture says, will die by the sword. He that liveth and believeth in Christ, the scripture says, will never die. You believe that?
Yes.
I come to thee, David said in verse 45, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Is He Lord? Yes, He is. He really is. Lord over all. Everything and everyone is in His hands. That's not a doctrine. That's facts. That's our God. Whom have I to fear? What have I to be afraid of? The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Right? And David wrote that. He said, what time I am afraid. Do you think for a minute, now David is a man. Do you think for just a minute he might have been a little bit afraid of God? You think? You know he was. But he didn't show it. He's got an example to set. And when that little bit of fear came into his heart, you know what he did? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust the Lord. And maybe he came up, he hadn't seen that giant yet, okay? And he heard the story. He said, I'll go. And he came up and he saw him. Lord, he's just a man. He's just a man. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. He ran toward that giant, didn't he? And as I said, I don't think that giant had ever seen a man run at him like that. And the giant's taunting him. Oh, who do you think you are? Am I a dog? You come after me with sticks and stones to break my bones. Look, your words can never hurt me. The opposite is true, isn't it? Huh? I don't think, and when David came, and the giant quit talking, and now David's doing the talking. And he who laughs best, doesn't he? David got the last word in. David said, you've come with a shield, and a sword, and a spear, and all that, and you got somebody standing in front of you. I come in the name of God. He is God. My God is God. My God is the Lord. And that's all I need, is Him. And you're going down. You're gonna land on your face. And I'm gonna take your head off. It didn't sound like there was any doubt in David's mind yet. I will defeat you, he said. No doubt about it. In the name of my God. My God is able. and he sent me for this task. And I won't rest until I finish it. That's what Naomi said to Ruth, this man. See, his name is Redeemer. And if he doesn't redeem, he's not the Redeemer. Is it? His name is Savior, Kelly. Call his name Jesus. He shall save. Well, if he can't save, don't give him that name. Call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sin. Call his name Redeemer, because that's what he did. Call his name Captain, because that's who he is. Call his name Lord, because that's what he is. He's called the sword of the Lord. He's called everything. Captain, the defender, the savior, that's his name. His name is at stake. And if he doesn't do what he's called, then take that name away from him. But he did. And David did. And David ran and took one stone. And it says in verse 49, that giant fell on his face to the earth. Where was he? At David's feet. On his face before David the king. And the scripture says, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Every one of his enemies are going to be under his footstool. And the Philistines ran. And David took his sword. He didn't have a sword, you see, but he took the sword that Goliath used and cut his own head off with it and took the man's head into Jerusalem to display it. David took that giant's head into Jerusalem to display everybody. I have cut your adversary's head off. See this? I've defeated the head. The woman's seed has crushed the serpent's head. Do you see this? And the sword that he used, the giant's own sword to cut his own head off with. And David said this in Psalm 17. He said, men are your sword. The Lord uses men to fight and this and that and the other according to his purpose. But Satan in the garden hoped to use a man to get at God, Adam. Satan used Adam to try to defeat God's kingdom on this earth, okay? It seemed like he won, didn't it? What happened? God became man. Second Adam. And so he used the very sword that Satan thought to defeat God with. The very sword, by one man, sin entered the world. Even so, by one man, the sword of the Lord, he came and cut the giant's head off. And they went, they followed the Philistines. And as I said, the children of Israel had some war, some battles to fight, but David had won the war. He obtained the victory. And they were just cleaning up a little bit. And Saul, I love this. It says in the end that Saul saw David go forth and said, who is this youth? Who is this? I don't know, admiral. I don't know who he is. Inquire whose son is stripling. And David returned from the slaughter, took the Philistine's head. And Saul said again, verse 50, who are you? And David said, I standing before him, this victory one, he said, I'm the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And right after that, maybe we've got to preach on Jonathan. Because right after that, Jonathan's standing there. Jonathan saw all this. Saul doesn't know him. Saul hates him. David's going to get all the glory for all this. And Jonathan standing there says, when he heard David, when he saw what he did, saw his power, saw his courage, saw his strength, heard his blessed voice. No man spake like this man. No man, Jonathan thought, I had never heard a man stand up like that. Never seen such power, such beauty, such glory. Jonathan said his heart was knit. His soul was knit to David. And they became best friends with him. Who is this? That's what Isaiah 63 said. Who is this coming from Bozrah with his garments dyed red? I am mighty to save. The Son of the Most High God. No, this is not fiction. This is fact. This is our salvation. Okay.